thank you, Jen, for sending this up again, and thanks to Mass Waterworks for its ongoing partnership with us as we're working through these issues, and we appreciate the opportunity to have this forum. We're speaking only a few days after the last time we spoke, and that was mostly just because of a scheduling problem I had. I'm hoping that we'll get back into the regular flow on the weekly calls, and obviously we can do them more often if we need to. But I have a few updates. But last time when I started, I was going to recognize Jane Downing from EPA's drinking water program a little earlier, and I ended up not doing that until much later in the call. So I might ask Jane if you'd like to unmute yourself, and if there are any preliminary remarks you wanted to provide, please feel free to do so, and then I'll go through my list after that.
Thank you, Commissioner. Can everyone hear me?
Yes, we can.
Okay. So I think the last time we spoke on the last call, we talked a lot about the enforcement memo that sets the stage for what we might do if we're faced with violations. If there's any more questions on that, I'm happy to take some more questions, and hopefully we'll answer that. We just had a call with headquarters an hour ago. I will reiterate that they are looking to do more to emphasize that water operators are essential personnel. As you may already know, letters were sent to the governors to make that point, and we hope that's effective. There was also a template that was developed that hopefully will be at use at the water system level, at the local level, which just recognizes water workers as essential. So we're hoping that that helps out with access. But in addition to those two, we did share the concerns with trying to get some more attention to PPE and testing. And I know the national program is looking into that. So there's a lot going on at the national level. There's a new website that gives you additional Q's and A's. There's a pandemic checklist. There is a webinar. There'll be a series of webinars on the pandemic checklist, suggestions for actions to respond to the pandemic. So I would say we're all working very hard. We're working extremely closely with our New England states. We today just reached out to New York and New Jersey so that we're all sharing information. And we're hearing some very positive information, which I will concur, which is happening here in New England, and of course, including Massachusetts. So the best thing I can say is things look pretty strong. Supply chains, workers, and the best that the utilities can do is what you're doing now, which is to work very closely with the states, with the associations, and with EPA. And we're here to help if there's anything we can do. So keep up the great work, and thank you again.
Okay, thanks, Jane, and thanks for being on the call for any questions that may come later in the call. I did want to highlight a few things. First of all, as we noted on Friday, we were going to be putting up some more questions and answers on our website. Many of those were the topics that we covered on the first part of the call on Friday. Those are now all up on our website. We're trying to make it easy for you to figure out what's new versus the last time you looked at it by highlighting it in yellow and putting a date on which the question and answer was added. So, hopefully that's helpful. We'll continue to update it. We got some questions last time that we were still working on, and some that have come in since that we will continue to, update and preview as we have these calls, and then put the written information up so that it's available at all times. I will I will note that also one of the participants in the last call pointed out that Warren was doing a survey about, you know, capability and availability to help out in an emergency situation. And the ask was made of DEP if we could get a survey out to our mailing list, because maybe not everybody belongs to Warren or didn't see the Warren request. And so we have done that today. The program director pushed out a survey that we're encouraging systems to fill out. We will share that with Mass Waterworks and Warren and whoever are the right people to share that with. So that went out today, and hopefully that will be helpful. We are working on the answers to the Mass Waterworks letter that was sent to us, I think, just about this time last week, maybe Wednesday of last week. We will be answering each of those questions. Some of them have been answered in our Q's and A's, but we'll go through that anyway. Some of them involve other programs like the Water Management Act program. What are we going to do with regards to certain regulations? And we're going to answer all of those questions. And Mass Waterworks, and we will continue to engage on that issue. So we are working on that. Personal protective equipment. As we indicated the last time, there is no program available right now to provide it for water and wastewater operators. We have been raising this with the command center through our channels at the command center. We in our written guidance have also encouraged you to work with your regional or your local emergency management authorities to let them know if you have a need for this equipment or where you are with regard to it. I think on the call last week, somebody sent a message through the chat that Jen was looking at, indicating that at least in one community, some of the emergency folks had reached out to one of the utilities there. We're hoping we'll see more of that. I'd be interested to know if there's if that's going on in other communities as well. But we are continuing to recognize that this is important. Jane indicated that at the federal level, the recognition that water and wastewater operations are essential services. As you know, in Massachusetts, the governor has already indicated that. We are looking to make sure that we are thinking about all those questions that come with that. I would also note that we did get a question about, priority testing, medical testing to see if you have COVID. We don't have an answer for that yet, but again, we've raised that with the command center. Finally, the one thing I would highlight in terms of questions that, came up, they came up a couple of ways. It was a bit in the Mass Waterworks letter. It has come up in at least a couple of questions and one of the conversations I've had with one of the suppliers, and that's on the financial topic. As you may recall, in past weeks, we talked about, documenting costs related to COVID response. And I believe on our Q's and A's, we have a link to the form that, MEMA advises to use. But I have heard from systems that, the financial issues aren't simply limited to responding to COVID, although that's important. And that's a very real expense. I know systems are thinking about, they're worried about what the longer term impacts of this emergency might be, either through lost revenues, customers not drawing as much water, things like that, that might affect the financial picture for systems going forward. And I know a number of systems are starting to think about that and what that might mean and the impacts on that. In that regard, At least a couple of systems have also asked about, whether or not we know whether upcoming, stimulus types of legislation will deal with that. I don't have an answer for that right now. I am asking, and I will, keep I will keep you posted on that. This is an area that I understand is important for all of you, and I would hope that if we are able to identify positive information, or if you're working on areas where that's important, to please let us know. So I would finally just note that we are working on a couple of things that we've updated some of our online guidance in several areas. Bacteria sampling at outside taps, spigots, and hose bibs, and bacteria sampling at hydrants using a hydrant sampler. Again, we've been confronting this issue of not being able to enter residences or private buildings because of the COVID emergency. Again, hydrants and outside taps, pose their own challenges. We do have the most up-to-date guidance that the program has, working with other authorities on that to have some information available. We also have online guidance in terms of mitigating lead and copper levels in facilities after school closures due to COVID-19. Things that we're working on. So those three things are already up on our website, and you'll be able to find them. Things that we're working on right now. One of you recommended, and we appreciate it, flushing guidance for building and facilities after closure or low flow. There's some CDC guidance that was brought our way, and we're incorporating that into the information that we'll be providing. Forms for reporting public water system closure. Forms for reporting documentation for COVID-related failure to comply with some requirements, and protocols for virtual inspections. So those are things that we're working on, and I suspect will be the subject of additional written guidance and maybe some material we can present next week when we're back with you. So those are the updates that I have. I also am aware that we have some questions that came in. Two of them have to deal with sampling. And I believe some of the things we talked about just now and some of the guidance we have up on our website will help. But the first question we got was, is there any sort of sample taps that water departments could integrate into the distribution system that could be used as routine sample sites? This would eliminate access problems we're having now should something like this happen in the future. So I know we're talking about dealing with the here and now. I didn't know if Kathy or Yvette wanted to talk further about the answer to that question.
Hi, this is Yvette.
Can you hear
me?
Yes, we can hear you.
We are looking at our guidance for standalone sampling taps to add to our list of locations where it can be sampled. And we are going to put up our current information on standalone sampling taps. Those take a little bit longer to put in place, but we know that some systems are already in the process of installing standalone sampling stations. So we would add that to our usual list of routine sites. Thank you.
Okay, thanks for that. And then secondly, we got a question, what should we do about lead and copper samples for schools as they're not open and may not be open before the sampling period June 30 ends? So again, I don't know if Yvette, you wanted to highlight any thoughts on that, it would be appreciated.
I'm gonna ask Damon to take this one on.
Yeah, so this is the LCR samples for schools. So I guess I was a little uncertain if you meant schools that are themselves public water systems that have LCR sampling requirements, like they're a non-transit, non-community. And in that case, obviously we don't expect them to be able to sample while the schools are closed. So that'll just have to be put off until the schools are reopened and in a sampling period. If, however, you meant a community public water system that is required under mass regulations to take two samples at two schools while you go out and do your LCR samples, we've answered that in our FAQs, I believe, but the answer is you simply have to just do it whenever the schools reopen. You know, we will not be looking for you to go into a closed school to take those two schools, two samples per school.
Okay, thanks,
Damon. This is Yvette again. We've also added to that of flushing protocols for schools, and that is already on our website. So in case you want to look that up, thank you.
Okay, terrific. The only other question we got, and I think I'm going to need to think about this one a little bit, is, you know, again, it goes back to the financial side of the house, and one of our systems here, I think, was on the phone, said that they've been given a directive by a town administrator that we're to cease expenditures without the administrator's approval on anything other than payroll, utilities, and contractual obligations. Not sure this is going to ensure a reliable, sustainable, nor safe water system. Can this be addressed by the commissioner since DEP has primacy on this? Departments on the enterprise system are set up to be self-sustaining in times like this, and we're going to need to perform things that will entail costs. Again, I think this goes a little bit to the issues that, you know, we were talking about, like what, you know, some of the systems have raised about, you know, expecting, you know, financial uncertainty, lost revenues, you know, as a result of COVID. I'm not sure there's anything right now up front that you know, DEP could say sort of, you know, beyond what we've said, which is, and I think you've heard it from both DEP and EPA, that we need these systems to continue to be able to deliver safe and pure water. And so, you know, there is, and obviously that's what you all want to do. If there's a particular function that you're not able to perform going forward, then, you know, I would encourage you again to talk to your regional office and identify what it is, and allow us to have a discussion with you about that. And, you know, we'll see what we can, you know, we'll see how that falls on the issues and what we can collectively do about it. But, you know, again, I think we're going to be, we're going to need to know about situations. You know, typically we don't, we're not deeply involved in discussions between, you know, systems and the town government. But again, if you feel like you're confronting something where you're not going to be able to do something that, you know, is going to affect the way the system operates, then, you know, the first step would be, you know, to reach out to your regional office so that we can get a better understanding of what's going on there. So with that, I think those were the written questions that I saw. Jen, I don't know if there have been questions coming in via email or via the chat.
Yes, we do have, we did have a few via email. And if anyone has a question, you can email me at jpeterson, that's with a D, at masswaterworks.org, and I can read your question. So we had one come in from the Southeast region asking, they understand the discussions that happened related to seasonal turn-ons and not shutting off water for lack of payment. But the question is, can customers be shut off for a few hours right now to allow water main work to proceed, or has the governor prohibited that?
Yeah, I, you know, I want to make sure I really am understanding the question, but, you know, again, water and wastewater is essential services. And again, if you need to work on the system, you know, and it's going to, you know, mean the disruption in service, you know, to accomplish the repairs that you need to do, you know, I think that's different than somebody being shut off for non-payment. And so I would assume that, you know, this is, if the question is you're repairing something and you need to turn the water off for a period of time to, you know, to fix it or to, you know, to maintain it, I don't think that's the same thing.
And this is a private project that's laid a new water main, which has been disinfected, and now the old main needs to be turned off to switch over the new main. Some existing services off the old main will be out for a few hours in order to be connected to the new main.
Yeah, again, unless anybody else from the DEP team, has anything further to add, either because they're familiar with the situation, but if it's work you're doing to maintain the system and upgrade the system, then I'm assuming, I believe a lot of what the discussions have been is, services being turned off for non-payment. And I think that's a very different thing, if I'm understanding the facts right.
I think you're right, Commissioner.
Marty, this is Dave Johnston, Southeast Region. May I just add to that?
Please, Dave.
Yeah, I would just add that, we'd want those folks to go through the normal protocols of notifying the people that would be inconvenienced, try to do the work at a time that would be, the least amount of an inconvenience to your customers. And then as you move forward doing that, which is typical protocol, that, do it cognizant of the fact that people's normal hours have changed because of COVID.
Really good points, Dave. Really good points. Thank you.
Okay, the next question, again, back to a financial question. This regards not charging interest on overdue bills. And I know that the governor's signed that municipal relief bill last week, and so there was a provision of that to waive the payment of interest or other penalty in the event of late payment. Is it true that the interest is only waived after March 10th of 2020, that any interest that had accrued prior to March 10th can still be charged?
I think so, but let me double check that. Let us double check that, and we can turn that around relatively quickly. But I would just want to make sure that the people that are the most familiar with these orders. I know March 10th was an important date because that's when the governor declared the emergency, but I'd like to look at the order, and I'd also like to look at the legislation a little more closely. So if I could, I'll take that back, and we will get you a written answer, Jen, that you can share with people on this call as quickly as possible.
Okay, great. Next question, has the state heard anything about supply chain issues with liquid oxygen supplies with prioritization for healthcare facilities? Ozone disinfection facilities could be affected. And I did ask a follow-up to this person to say, are you concerned that the liquid oxygen would go to the hospitals? And the response was, yes, that's what they're concerned about. So has there been any conversation with the command center about liquid oxygen supplies?
Yes, good, and I'm glad you raised that because we actually got that inquiry from the wastewater side of the house. Apparently there are several treatment facilities that use oxygen in the disinfection process, and as do, I guess, some drinking water systems. And we were hearing, the way I'd summarize it is, I guess some of the systems had been notified by providers that they were, starting to think about how to, manage demand based on the increased demand for oxygen as a result of COVID. I have not heard that any system right now is in imminent danger of running out, but I would invite anybody here on this call, or if you know parties that might be, to let us know. Based on the fact that we heard this over the weekend, we did let the command center know that this was a situation we were watching. We did also, try to do as much of our checking as possible with systems, again, just to make sure that no one was in imminent danger of running out. I know people are looking at different alternatives. I think there are different companies. I know people were investigating whether there were other suppliers. So it is something that we are watching, and we would appreciate being informed on. Kathy Baskin, you were doing a lot of work on this over the weekend. Can I ask you whether or not you have any additional updates on that?
Sure, Commissioner. So we asked all of our regions over the weekend to be reaching out to those water treatment facilities as well as wastewater treatment facilities that rely on oxygen. And they got word back. There are a few that do rely on it. Nobody seems to be at risk right now. They, you know, we asked them to get an inventory of how much oxygen or how many days worth of oxygen they have. So we think they're okay. We also spoke with EPA, and EPA has also asked us to let them know if there is an issue, because they have access to the supply chain through the Department of Homeland Security and FEMA. So between the command center at MEMA and also FEMA, I think we'd be able to find people the oxygen they need if we're made aware of it in time.
Thanks, Kathy. So yeah, I mean, keep us posted if it looks like, you know, your system isn't able to find it. And you know, I would encourage those discussions to go once again to the regional people you work with on those, you work with, and let them know if the situation starts getting more adverse.
Those are the only questions I have in via email, and there are no questions via the chat. So did you want to open it up if anyone wasn't able to submit?
I think if we have a little bit of time, and if you know, we could ask the rules, you know, you unmute yourself by, is it #6? And then when you've finished asking your question, maybe go back on mute, just because I know with a lot of people on there, the, you know, opening a line all at once sometimes gets a little noisy. So if we could ask you to, you know, is it #6 or *6, Jen?
I think it might be *6.
Okay, my apologies. *6.
I can also unmute people if they raise their hand, or you know, if they're on the audio portion of this through their computer. So, but okay. It worked fine the other day. Just to have people unmute themselves. If it gets too unruly, I can mute people manually.
Okay, fair enough. Well, let's see if anybody's got a question or a comment. Okay.
Not seeing anyone being unmuted, so.
Well, I realize, you know, part of it is we were all together on the phone on Friday, so maybe that's, you know, that's part of the reason, but you know, it goes without saying, if people do, you know, have things to ask, you know, Jen, you are great at always, you know, getting the questions to us. We will do our best to, you know, try to have an answer for them as quickly as possible. And like I say, we'll keep updating our Q&A document. And, you know, I believe I owe you one email on the question about interest, which we'll try to get as soon as possible to you, so that you can push that answer out as well. And
great. And I did get your updated FAQ and the other guidance, so I'll push that out to our members today as well.
Terrific. Well,
for those on the calls, we do have this now as a recurring Tuesday call. So the information will be the same going forward, but I will continue to put it out through our membership, and DEP will continue to put it out through the P director. We did just have one question.
Great.
Are CORE check forms now required to be submitted with temporary emergency certification applications? And actually, I asked that one the other day of DPL. So
great,
the answer
question
is yes.
Right? It is. So you know the answer already. Okay.
But for those on the phone, yes.
So the answer is yes. And actually, that's a good reminder. I meant to call on Mike Maynard to see if he had any updates that he wanted to offer from the licensure side of the house. Mike, are you on the call, and would you be willing to provide us with any updates? Mike might have it unmuted.
Mike, I just unmuted you.
Okay. Can you hear me?
Yep.
Yes, we can.
Okay. Yeah, just a couple of quick notes. As everyone knows, DPL has the regulatory authority to license. The board is now currently meeting every week to address any licensing issues. The TECs continue to submit the TECs, and Jen just brought up a good question. Before any of the TECs can be reviewed, DPL has to have that CORI form, which should be attached to the TEC application, which is on the DPL website. So then if it's submitted without the CORI form, DPL will contact you. They are stacking the TEC applications, and once they do that evaluation, then the board will act on those and send out a approval or a request for more information. There was something that recently DPL sent out a mailing for all licenses that expired 12/31/19. I know a number of people have started to get them because I've seen an influx of calls. In that renewal application, there will be an authorization code and instructions as to how to go online and complete the renewal. The renewal fee is waived. If it is not waived and you go online and to renew your license, please contact Jen, and then Jen will get the message. The easiest way, Jen, if you don't mind.
Mike, just one clarification though on that. It's not the renewal fee, it's the late fee, right? They still have to pay the renewal fee. Yeah.
Correct. Thank you for that clarification. So it's the late fee. So if they, for some reason, somebody goes on, renews, and is charged a late fee, please contact Jen, and Jen will get the message to myself, and the commissioner's been talking with the commissioner at DPL to kind of streamline some of these interagency issues. Also, if you got one of those notices, there is a training this Friday at 11 o'clock, a webinar as to how to go online and renew your license. The link is in the FAQs, and thanks to Jen for working with DPL to kind of coordinate that. I think that's about it. Thank you.
Okay, terrific. Thanks, Mike.
We just had one more question about the testing facilities. Any idea when they will open? And I think we were told that they were closed at least through April 13th, but that's probably, Mike, do you have any update on that? Yeah.
That was the latest I had heard, through the 13th or the 15th. I got notification from ABC. So I will double check with them to see if there are any updates. But that was it. I think it was the 13th or the 15th was the closure date. That's it.
Okay, thanks again. Well, unless there are other questions, once again, thank you for everything you're doing in terms of providing, safe water to our communities. We want to make sure that we're continuing to work with you. We'll continue to make sure that we're available at the regional level. As I've indicated on each of these calls, we have regional people, our regional staff that are participating on each of these calls, and, they are open for business, and we will also make sure that we are following up on issues. And again, I appreciate those of you that are raising the financial issues. I'll be trying to see what kinds of guidance and what kind of things people are talking about across government, and we'll try to bring that back to this table as well. So, Jen, thank you, unless there's anything else.
Well, just one, John Murphy, who oversees the wastewater operators, had just sent me a message saying that he had heard Friday, May 1st, is the date that the exam locations intend to reopen. So I guess, you know, it's probably a moving target based on, you know, the social distancing. So right now it looks like Friday, May 1st.
All right. Okay. Good.
Jen,
good update.
Is that ABC exams or are
that's
those,
what John says ABC PSI exam yeah. locations.
Thank you.
Great. Thank
right.
you.
Great. So we'll reconvene next Tuesday at 2 p.m.
Next Tuesday, too. And thank you again for setting this up. And thanks, everybody.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye.